In the day's other news, FDA advisors recommended that the agency approve Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for 5 to 11-year-olds. They said the benefits outweigh a rare side effect of heart inflammation, mostly in boys. And Deborah Birx, who was former President Trump's COVID coordinator, now says that he was distracted by the election and that pandemic response efforts suffered as a result. She has told a congressional panel that this led to more than 130,000 avoidable deaths. The Pentagon is warning that the Islamic State in Afghanistan could be able to strike at the U.S. within 6 to 12 months. Undersecretary of Defense Colin Call gave that assessment at a U.S. Senate hearing today. He said it is not clear if Afghanistan's Taliban rulers can take on ISIS. In Sudan today, the new military ruler defended Monday's coup, claiming his actions helped prevent a civil war. General Abdel Fattah Burhan said that officials in the deposed government could face trial for fomenting discontent and trying to incite rebellion in the army.
This issue reached a deadlock, and the armed forces had a clear choice. So we took the decision to return back to the popular revolution, its luster and laurel, and the possibility of achieving their hopes. We want to continue achieving the demands of the people and achieving the state of freedom, peace, and justice.
Later, the Associated Press reported that the ousted prime minister has been allowed to go home under heavy security. Meanwhile, protesters returned to the streets of Khartoum today to demonstrate against the takeover. Several people were killed yesterday in clashes with security forces. State media in Iran say that a cyber attack closed gas stations across the country today. Fuel pumps were turned off as frustrated drivers waited in long lines for stations to reopen. The disruption affected those trying to use smart cards to buy cheaper, subsidized fuel. There was no word on who might have carried out the hack. The head of the United Nations sounded an urgent call today for world leaders to act on global warming. Secretary General Antonio Guterres spoke days before leaders gather for a climate summit in Scotland. He said they must be bold if they really are serious about curbing greenhouse gas emissions.
The clock is ticking. The emissions gap is the result of a leadership gap. But leaders can still make this a turning point to a greener future instead of a tipping point to climate catastrophe.
The UN's Environment Program reports existing commitments from the world's biggest emitters still fall short of what is needed. Much of the nation is dealing tonight with powerful storms that have brought extreme winds and rain and triggered floods and mudslides. John Yang has our report.
An early nor'easter brought heavy rains and intense winds to the Northeast today. The governors of New York and New Jersey declaring emergencies.
Look at this strong tornado.
In the Midwest, residents in Missouri and Illinois were only beginning to assess damage from a string of tornadoes that touched down Sunday. All as the West Coast also tries to recover from two storms that converged this past weekend, bringing record-setting rains to an area suffering a historic drought. One was a bomb cyclone, a storm that intensifies quickly as the atmospheric pressure drops. The other was an atmospheric river, a long plume of moisture pulled in from the Pacific Ocean. With them came high winds, sounding an eerie whistle from San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge. Heavy rains, which downed trees and knocked out power to 380,000 customers.
It hit our master bedroom in the corner and dropped over the house on our cars.
And flash flooding that blocked cars on highways and streets and led to rock and mudslides.
We've lived here 20 years, never seen it this high.
My whole garage is up to my kneecaps. Everything is floating around.
Electricity to most of those California customers has now been restored, and in the short term, the rains may have helped douse some of the state's wildfires. But it's unclear how much they'll help with the long-term drought. Scientists say more frequent and severe weather like this is a symptom of a warming planet and likely to continue. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm John Yang.
President Biden has rejected a second attempt by former President Trump to invoke executive privilege in a probe of the U.S. Capitol assault. A select committee of the U.S. House of Representatives sought documents on the January 6th attack. The president already blocked Mr. Trump's initial attempt to invoke executive privilege. And on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 15 points to close at 35,756, another record. The NASDAQ rose 9 points. The S&P 500 added 8, also closing at a new high. Still to come on the NewsHour, what's at stake for families as Democrats weigh dropping family leave from the president's spending bill? Congress takes social media giants to task over how their platforms impact the mental health and privacy of children and teens. One Afghan woman's emotional journey from escaping the Taliban to resettling in rural America, and much more.
This is the PBS NewsHour from WETA Studios in Washington, and in the West from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University.